Best of luck this season. Mow over your competition from Power Up Equipment Incorporated. All the best names in grounds care are here, including Honda Power Equipment, Cub Cadet, Ferris, and many more. Power Up Equipment Incorporated on Route 68 west of Butler, right across from the Butler Farm Show Grounds. Call 724-482-2131 or go online at powerupequipment.com. The Four Horsemen of Trib Live Radio.
Anytime you see the Four Horsemen together, it's something special.
Ken Laird, Guy Junker, Tim Benz, Josh Taylor.
Jump on the Horsemen one time, baby. It's an all-night ride.
The apocalypse for sports talk radio is here.
Ken Laird, Tim Benz, Josh Taylor along. It's the Giovanni's Pizza Hour here on Trib Live Radio. And we got Travis Sochik on the line, Pittsburgh Tribune Review Pirates writer. So let's transition over to some Bucco talk. And,
oh, good. We got Travis. See, I thought he was starting his work on his next book, too, just to keep up with Andy. And that's why.
Well, Travis does have a fantastic book. It's either Big Data Baseball or Big Data Baseball, depending on who you ask. Right, Travis?
That's right. Depends on what region you're for or from or just what you prefer, how you prefer to pronounce it. So either one works.
And, did your data?
Unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be an afterword to the book. And if they would have done something special, or more bonus material, so unfortunately, that wild card game loss, there'll be no sequel, no update, no new chapter.
No. Travis, that's horrible news. You should come up with a sequel. It should be called Little Data Baseball, the story of the 98-win Pirates that lost to Jake Arrieta, in large part because they were going off of little sample sizes of data against Jake Arrieta.
I don't know if that's a book. But that's certainly another. That's a story for another day, right? So, it's unbelievably bad luck. Parts of the last 2 years running into a historic second half performer, and what Jake Arrieta has done since the All-Star break, and of course what Madison Bumgarner did last October. So. Yeah, some bad luck for the Buccos the last 2 years, no doubt.
Travis, how much big data goes into big dollar thinking with these guys, especially when it comes to Neil Walker, Pedro Alvarez, and Mark Melancon, i.e. what they're going to make in arbitration, somewhere in the neighborhood of $8 to $10 million for each guy? That might even be conservative thinking in at least one or two of those. But if it's somewhere between $8 to $10 million for each of those guys, how do they analyze their stats and whether or not that's worth keeping for those players?
Yeah, they're certainly going to use a lot of data, a lot of metrics. You know, they have really smart people in the front office, and they're going to use them to forecast what these guys will do. And what they're also going to look at is the history of all baseball players, how they age, how similar players of similar body types, similar positions age at these positions. And, I would be shocked if all three are back, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they're all three are gone. And if you look at Neil Walker, and I'm going to write about this on Sunday, you look at Neil Walker and you wonder if he's already started to decline a little bit. And you look at the history of the second baseman, and he's going into his age 30 season. He declined a little bit this year from last year. He'll probably decline a little bit more going forward, and you let it spend $10 million there or so when you have some internal in-house options that are cheaper. Alvarez, he's a year younger, but you just haven't seen a lot of offensive improvement. If you look at his batting average on base, slugging this year, they're just slightly better than his career line, covering 2,800 plate appearances. So is there any reason to believe he's going to get any better offensively? I do think he could be better defensively at first base next year. If you look at Kevin Young and George Scott, who are the only guys who have 23 or more errors like Alvarez did this year since 1977, and they both had slight improvements their next seasons at first base. So maybe there's some hope there. But again, you're going to pay a lot of money for a guy whose bat is not elite for the position. And then Melancon, do you really want to tie up 10% of your payroll in a guy who's only going to throw 75 innings? As good as Melanson's been, the Pirates have traded too close. Hanrahan and Gurley, they trade closers. They don't want to overpay for saves, which is what happens in the arbitration process. Arbitrators give players dollars for saves. The Pirates really don't want to do that. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of changes with some faces that have been part of these the run the last 3 years.
Travis, a couple of guys that are also due for arbitration that might not be bigger names on the list, but I think could also be due for big raises, Francisco Cervelli, Tony Watson, two guys that are probably on the list due for big pay raises also.
Yeah, I think they'll both be back. Cervelli, I mean, I think they have to bring back. They don't look at what he did at the plate, his receiving skills. He really filled in. I don't think he completely replaced Russell Martin, but he replaced a lot of his value. The throwing game leaves something to be desired. He's going to be back, and maybe they would try to work out a multi-year extension. And then Watson is in line for a raise, but it won't be as large as Melanson's just because I think the arbitration process still rewards saves, and Melanson doesn't have many saves as current since he's not a closer. So I think there'll be better values, and they'll both return, and they'll both be big parts of the 2016 season for the Pirates.
As much value as they got out of Cervelli and Stewart, being that catching combination, both players are up for arbitration raises. Would it make sense to bring both of these guys back, or do they only have room for one?
Yeah, that's a good question. And they have, Diaz, he's ready to play at the major league level. He's close. He was, of course, with the team in September, although we didn't see him play much. They love Stewart and Cervelli's receiving skills. I like the way they handle pitchers. I wouldn't be surprised if they're both back. And I think Stewart's price will be a relatively modest price. So I would lean toward thinking both catchers will be back. But my degree of confidence is probably 80%.
Travis Sawchuk with us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review talking about the Pirates and what they're going to do this offseason now that the 2015 campaign is over. If J-Hap doesn't stay, let me rephrase. Do you think they'll keep J-Hap? Mm-hmm. And if they don't, what will the rotation look like after Liriano and Cole?
Yeah, that's Neil Huntington indicated they have interest in bringing J-Hap back. And that makes sense because he pitched like a Cliff Lee since they got him from the Mariners. And I was talking with the Blue an official from another Yankees team. And
the Blue Sox, yes. I'm familiar with them,
I'm not going to say who, but I was talking to someone from an Yankees team. They might play in Toronto. Uh-huh. And they were because the Pirates have done so, we're talking about the price tag of Hap in the offseason. And he said, because the Pirates have done such a good job with their reclamation project pitchers, because of the run prevention plan in place, he's a little skeptical, and he thinks the industry is a little skeptical when these guys go back in a market. Can we really replicate the value the Pirates have done? So he thought Hap's price tag might be a little lower than any market estimates out there, and that might give the Pirates a little better chance to re-sign him. But I think you're still, pitchers are so expensive, you're still probably looking at, I think Rob Beertumble put out 2 years, $20 million, and that's probably reasonable. You look at what Volk has got, but you're still probably looking at a low eight-figure deal, but that's the price of playing poker in today's game.
So wait a minute. So you're saying that there is a race steerage effect out there in Major League Baseball, that people actually look at these reclamation project pitchers, see that they've done well in Pittsburgh, and say that can't happen elsewhere. It only happens with the Pirates?
I think so. And it's not just steerage. It's Jim Benedict, who works a lot behind the scenes and who probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. It's the ground ball philosophy. It's not like sequence. It's the ballpark. But yeah, steerage is a big part of that. And I think if you're another team, you do have to look at it and say, well, his numbers, we probably can't replicate that here because of this environment he's in. So I think that goes in. Now, it's not going to depress the value completely, and they're going to look at his raw stuff and all that, but I think that could deflate the value a little bit for pitchers, free agent pitchers coming to Pittsburgh.
Hey, Travis, you tweeted about this during the game that from last year, the Pirates' home run total went from fifth in baseball to 23rd. You could see the Cubs with their power on display in that win. Pirates, of course, couldn't come up with a run. Yes, they drafted Pedro Alvarez, but they've gone pitching heavy in a lot of these drafts. Has that come back to bite them, and how do they switch that back going forward?
It has come back to bite them a little bit. But they were operating off kind of conventional theory that you need pitching. And as a small market club, they can't go out. Excuse me. They can't go out and get a John Lester, or they're unwilling to go out and get a John Lester. So their whole operating premise has been, we're going to be very aggressive in the draft and go after high upside arms, a lot of high school arms. And unfortunately, that has not worked out very well. And the Cubs draft went bat heavy with their premium picks last five or six drafts. And we saw what Schwarber did. We saw Bryan's season. And, well, they deserve credit for identifying those guys. Those were early picks. They went bat heavy. And that's a safer approach in today's game where it's become easier to find arms for a variety of reasons. But everybody's throwing 95 miles an hour. Everybody has wipeout breaking pitches, off-speed pitches, it seems like. So I think it's a little easier to find arms. And you look at the Pirates reclamation projects point to that. It's hurt them. And that's why Alvarez, I think, is actually an intriguing guy. If you can't get value in a trade, to bring him back, because you wonder if his defensive woes this season might suppress his arbitration price tag a little more than Walker and Melanson. You look at maybe in a second year first phase, his error total can't be any worse, can it? And he still has power to shrink a ballpark. He's got an elite home run to fly ball rate. The power's real. And, you know, maybe there's still some upside there. But I don't know what the relationship's like, and I don't think he's ever going to blossom into the hitter you hope he'd become. But yeah, the Pirates need power, and I think that was one of their, as I wrote about going into the offseason, that was one of, or the postseason, that was one of their biggest weaknesses going into the playoffs, is they ranked 23rd in baseball and in home runs, and when you get a mistake, Jake Arrieta doesn't make money, but you want to line up, they can take advantage. Like Schwarber, Cole left the slider out over the plate, Schwarber hit a home run that pretty much sealed their season. I think power is their premium, and they're going to try to find more power, just as they did with Gong last offseason. It's a challenge to find it.
And by the way, as we speak, the Blue Jays, the best run-scoring team in baseball, down early in Game 2, already down 1-0 in the series, so the playoffs is just sort of...
And they got two guys on still.
Yeah, God,
and
what
the
a
first
horrible
two,
start.
The first two batters, one, Bautista, almost made a great catch in right field, but he bounced off the wall and the ball came out of his glove. And then the next batter, it was a foul-tip third strike that the catcher couldn't hold on to, and it turned into two runs.
Wow, 2-0 Rangers in the top of the first.
Yeah, I think the concern is if you move away from Alvarez and Walker, Walker's hit 49 home runs the last 2 years at second base, which is well above average. You're subtracting... What did they combine for this year? 43 home runs or so? And that's going to be hard to replace. Josh Bell, he's a fine prospect, but his power has not developed yet. And would he be your option at first base? Is it Michael Morris? Is it an external guy?
Well, that's what we were saying yesterday. We were wondering yesterday if the platoon, righty-lefty platoon, maybe of keeping Alvarez and having Morse be the right-handed guy, that adds up to, what did we say yesterday, $16 million. So you got a $16 million starting first baseman between those two. Are those two worth it as a $16 million option at first base?
That's a lot. I mean, for the combined production, for $16 million, probably like, it might be their best available option, but it's not ideal. One guy I like in free agency this year is Steve Pierce, who's Andrew McCutchen's offseason workout buddy.
Oh,
and
my God.
He was great. He was great 2 years ago at the Orioles. Had an injury plagued year this year, but he's a fly ball hitter. He's got above average power, and he can bounce all around the field. And if you're looking for value picks, which is what the Pirates do in the offseason, he's a guy who I think might have value. But he's certainly not going to come in and be an all-star first baseman, but he's a guy who can move around, hit 20 home runs, he walks, versatile.
It's nice. No, hold on. This is good because it's nice to know that now the Pirates have reached Penguin status, where former Pirates get to come back, and everybody clamors the moment they're available to bring them back. So it's good. It's good to know that now we can mention Steve Pierce's name in the same breath as Max Talbot.
This is just pure speculation, but he's a guy who I think would. I think he's intriguing. And look, they're not going to go spend a ton of money in free agency. You wouldn't think. Even, you know, they had a good attendance year last year, and they moved up from 27th to 25th in baseball opening day payroll. So that's why these arbitration guys are so fascinating, because that's, as you laid out, there's $24 to $30 million there in projected arbitration. Do they pay those guys? Do they pay some of them? Do they use that money elsewhere? If two of their top five starting pitchers are free agents, one is retiring, and one of those free agents is retiring in Burnett. I think this is going to be Huntington's most challenging offseason as a Pirates GM. And part of that is because the neighborhood is so difficult. When the Cubs aren't going anywhere, the Cardinals aren't going anywhere, I think the Pirates go into the offseason with more question marks in those clubs.
Great stuff, Travis. Thanks so much for the time, and I'm sure we'll be checking back in often here in the offseason if you're willing.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Travis Sawchik, Big Data Baseball, still available now where all fine books are sold. Travis, part of our Trip Total Media Bucko team with Rob Beertemple and Bill West. So he was kind of in the middle there, wasn't he, between Rob and Bill?
Yeah.
In terms of who's going to stay, who will go, who they should go for. Steve Pierce, huh?
Oh, God.
The Pirates will never have a complete first baseman. Just will never happen. They will never have the true perfect first baseman. They're cursed for many years of...
That'll be my book, just to complete the trilogy.
Yeah,
I will write a book,
nice.
Paging Jason Thompson.
All right, Tim, good work. When will we next hear you on brand X, Y, or Z?
I am doing Steelers Nation Radio immediately after this, so that'll be airing at 4 o'clock. For people who missed Andy's interview, I think we're rerunning it there on Steelers Nation Radio, and you can, of course, podcast it anytime at tribliveradio.com on our podcast page.
All right, see you Monday. And coming up next, Penn's Roundtable time with Jason Mackey in Dallas on his way to Arizona. And Jonathan Bonbulli joining me in studio. A full hour of Penguins talk coming up, a season opener to review, and what changes might be coming in the next week or so. We'll talk about it all next here on Trib Live Radio, all brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Duffy's Beer.
Don't put yourself in the penalty box. Let us make the save for you at Valley First. Loans for all occasions, home, auto, personal, student, credit cards. Excellent rates, no fees. Take advantage of free checking at Valley First. Enjoy perks like cash rebates to members purchasing cars with General Motors or cell phone programs with Sprint service just by belonging to Valley First. Visit us at either of our two convenient locations in Manesson or Rostraver. We'll put you on the power play with our financial products. Valley First Community Federal Credit Union on the corner of 8th and Schoonmaker. On the corner of service and savings.